Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. We wanted to try something a little bit different. Normally, our podcast stream is just the Critical Nonsense podcast, but we realized we have a newsletter here at Sylvain called Progress Report, and we thought it might be an interesting place to also drop the bi-weekly newsletter in an audio format, because frankly, that's a way that certain people take in new information, and myself included. And so we wanted to read a recent essay, and this may be a thing that we start doing with the bi-weekly newsletter, where we get one of the writers to read it. Just as a little background, the Progress Report newsletter that we do, we talk about it as inspiration for action. I'm going to read a quick blurb from the website because that will do it better than I can off the cuff. What is it? Non-traditional business intelligence with matching action steps to help you implement learnings at work. Change your business, grow your team. Now that's progress. The newsletter comes out every 2 weeks. You can go to progressbysylvain.co to sign up for the newsletter. And most of the time, it's a mix of cultural musings with some things you could potentially do to take action off that. But occasionally we read longer, or occasionally we write longer pieces like the one I'm about to read now. So let us know what you think, if this is interesting to have these added into the Critical Nonsense stream. Maybe we'll start doing more of it. And forgive the fact that I am not a voice actor in trying to read this. Our sound engineer, Alex Contell, is also working with us on this, and he had to suffer through a while of me figuring out my audiobook voice, which I still haven't figured out. But we hope you like the essay and sign up for Progress Report at progressbysylvain.co. Progressbysylvain.co. Thanks. Awaiting the Eruption, Innovation Strategies for a Post-SERP Era. There was an idea I encountered several times in the mid-2010s working with big tech companies. It went something like, there's a money hose and there's a time hose. When you want things to move fast, you open the money hose. When you want things to be effective or efficient, you open the time hose. The money hose was an embodiment of the free money era we now call ZERP, the period from roughly 2008 to 2022 where companies had zero or near zero federal interest rates and were awash in capital. The thinking that emerged in ZERP was often characterized by phrases like fail fast and break things, fail fast, iterate fast, and scale first, profit later. Speed to market was the name of the game. You could go to market with an MVP, a minimum viable product, and find your PMF, product market fit, once the product was live. The investment environment was defined by ideas like let a thousand flowers bloom, where companies would make many smaller investments to see what would blossom into a successful product or service. It led to what Kevin Roos called the millennial lifestyle subsidy, where venture capital was artificially reducing the cost of goods like ride-hailing, food delivery, and co-working space. ZERP sounds like something from a cult. And to be fair, as an outsider of Silicon Valley who occasionally made sojourns into the world, it did at times feel like one. But ZERP is dead. Long live ZERP. And we find ourselves at a significant inflection point in the way innovation will play out over the coming years. I know significant inflection point is about as trite a phrase as exists in business writing, but I've come to genuinely believe that it's true right now. The question remains, how can we use this information to architect and activate a more positive collective future? Outside Vesuvius, awaiting the eruption. People living in seismically active places often talk about waiting on the big one. Maybe uncoincidentally, many tech hubs exist in the Pacific Ring of Fire, e.g. San Francisco, Seattle, Tokyo. The technology community is often consumed with the anticipatory dread of seismic shifts in their industry. The singularity, quantum supremacy, and the P-doom of AGI are all areas where dread has been wrought. And while there are different perspectives on why or how the next big one might be coming, many futurists are predicting an imminent eruption of innovation. Some point to the investment in innovation that major companies have made over the past 5 years, where significant efforts were focused on infrastructure and capability expansion, as opposed to consumer-facing products and services. Alternatively, economist Carlotta Perez points to a slightly longer time horizon, happening in staged surges. She sees the wave of technological advancements that have happened since the dot-com bubble as a building up of capabilities that have yet to be deployed in ways that achieve their full potential. Like magma building up heat and pressure against the crust of the earth until it breaks, Perez sees the past 20 plus years as a wave of new capabilities waiting to erupt into the next major technological revolution. When you take this view, it's not hard to see the list of technologies we've created that are desperately seeking to be deployed in more expansive ways. Sometimes referred to as solutions seeking a problem, there are many capabilities we can see the potential of, but either the will, economics, or an absent complementary technology have prevented them from becoming more impactful in our daily lives. Technologies like gene editing, 5G, quantum computing, machine vision, bioprinting, blockchain, advanced robotics, networks, and displays are all only scratching the surface of their full potential. Look no further than blockchain, a technology that holds promise for improving everything from supply chains to medical records, but has been predominantly deployed through cryptocurrency or 3D printing, which has the potential to fabricate almost anything we need locally, yet has largely been deployed to create tchotchkes and disposable jewelry. Perez suggests that eruptions often demand us to tilt the field, by which he means a major policy shift. In the US, we may be seeing this tilt happen in the form of the CHIPS Act and the IRA, an almost $1 trillion investment in the expansion of domestic semiconductor manufacturing, clean energy production, and healthcare technology. You still with me? Picking up what I'm putting down? If you are, the question then becomes, how should companies shift the way they're calculating risk and investment in the future? RK selection theory. In population ecology, a branch of biology, there is a concept called RK selection theory. It suggests that there are two strategies for investing in your offspring, and it's an apt metaphor for thinking about ways companies can invest and develop new technologies. Here's the TLDR. When resources are plentiful and there is little food competition, the R-type strategy pervades. When food is scarce or resources are limited, the K-type strategy pervades. R-type animals have large litters with short gestation times. Young reach physical maturity quickly. They invest little in their offspring and have shorter lifespans. Examples include rodents like mice and rats. By contrast, K-type animals have smaller litters, longer gestation periods. Young reach physical maturity much more slowly. And as a result, parents are required to invest much more in their offspring. Humans, elephants, and whales are a few good examples. Once you're looking, you start to see the RK strategies play out in other places. Actors like Chris Pratt or Kevin Hart, who take on seemingly any project, are taking an R-type strategy. Actors like Daniel Day-Lewis, Will Smith, or Leonardo DiCaprio, who select only the best projects and pour themselves into the roles, take a K-type strategy. Performance marketing is an R-type strategy. Brand marketing is a K-type strategy. Tinder is R-type. Hinge is K-type. And so on and so on and so on. R-type strategy is a sprint. The ZIRP era was one dominated by the R-type strategy. Innovation became a rush to flood the market, with some companies literally applying the gingerbread man strategy. You put out as many innovations as possible with the hope that competition can't catch you. Run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. Unsurprisingly, if you extend the other components of the R-type strategy, this was also how a huge number of those investments died. The site Killed by Google has 293 products and services, with the majority from ZIRP 2008 to 2022 that were deprecated. This litany of killed innovations isn't unique to Google. There just happens to be a very convenient website dedicated to their dead. Instead, it's indicative of the ways many companies operated in ZIRP. It should also then be unsurprising that ZIRP and the incumbent dominance of R-type strategies weren't necessarily creating massively disruptive products. Free money and an orientation towards speed to market meant that new products were largely deploying the previous wave of innovations in novel ways. Essentially, companies were financializing previous technological leaps. TikTok's rise wasn't based on massive changes in their foundational technologies. Mobile video already existed, social media was already well established, and influencers pervaded. Instead, it was an incremental evolution to the recommendation algorithm, deploying a breaking news approach instead of a social graph approach. Similarly, Uber didn't invent GPS, the mobile web, or e-commerce. It simply brought those technologies together around ride-hailing. The list goes on. Airbnb, Spotify, Netflix, etc., etc., etc. None of this is intended to diminish what any of these companies have been able to accomplish. Much of it is really incredible, and some of it has improved people's lives for the better. But what happens when the free money dries up? The tortoise is running to the bank. Over the past decade, K-type investments haven't been cash cows. They've been coming soon or operating in stealth mode. Things like driverless cars, AI, quantum computing, and many more fit into this category. One could argue that OpenAI and Google's DeepMind are demonstrations of K-type investments, not to mention much of what Alphabet does outside of Google. While OpenAI was formed in 2015, ChatGPT didn't launch until the very end of 2022. Similarly, Meta's pivot to the metaverse is both a massive financial investment and a commitment to an idea that has yet to be fully realized. However, Meta believes in it so deeply, they've changed the name of their company. More recently, Apple's launch of the Vision Pro and the alleged 5,000-plus patents associated with its development represents an orientation towards creating the next disruption, K-type strategy. And how many videos have you seen over the past decade of people kicking those Boston Dynamics dogs? While very few of us have interacted with robots in our daily lives, Boston Dynamics is taking a K-type approach to developing their robotic solutions and is now valued at over $1 billion. There's SpaceX and Blue Origin and space exploration, ITER and nuclear fusion, Bluebird Bio or Novo Nordisk in healthcare. The question isn't whether there is an opportunity out in the marketplace. Simply put, there is abundant opportunity. The question in the near term will be, which companies will recognize the opportunity of this new environment and adapt to meet the moment? The picture painted is one of a child in a room full of toys telling you they're bored, though Clayton Christensen's innovator's dilemma might be a more appropriate metaphor. Companies afraid or unable to shift towards more K-type strategies in our current moment will be turned into gingerbread people at best or fully supplanted at worst. Become the tortoise. There's so much more I could write in this already overly long essay. Suffice it to say, the money hose has run dry. However, constraints breed creativity, or so we're told. What I hope people take away from this piece is that we're sitting in incredibly fertile ground to leverage that creativity. What's more, as Perez highlights, the period before a golden age is marked by inequality and unevenly distributed access. A new age is an opportunity to build a better system and to solve ills that exist in our current system. So while we can discuss opportunity, there's also responsibility to do it right. There will always be R-type and K-type strategists in any given time, industry, or ecosystem. But like the explosion of mammalian diversity in the wake of the great asteroid 66 million years ago, we're in a moment where K-strategists will likely emerge winners. If the theory holds, we're about to enter one of those moments people speak about in golden age terms, a moment where there is an opportunity to architect the future. Embrace your inner tortoise, or whale, or human, or elephant. Think slow, act fast. Critical Nonsense and Progress Report are Sylvain Productions and are brought to you by a lot of the same people, but different people to thank for this one. We'd like to thank, of course, as always, our sound engineer and wizard of voiceover, Alex Contell, our executive producer and volcanologist, Jess Vander. Big thanks to Jillian Rosen and Natalie Berry for all of their work on Progress Report. If you haven't checked out the newsletter, you should. They do all the work to make sure every week it has new and inspiring things to pursue action. We'd like to thank Nora Mestrich both for our wonderful cover art, but also because she did the illustrations in the newsletter essay that I just wrote and read here. And as always, thanks, Alan. Special thanks to just putting things out there. Anyone who's out there not being precious, putting it down, sharing, bringing good things, new knowledge, whatever it is, out into the universe. Thanks to you. Someone asked me after I wrote this piece, why did you write this? And my only response was, why not? I was trying to figure something out and seeing some patterns, and so I wrote something and shared it. That's how the world should work, right? So thanks to them for helping me get that clarity. Thanks to any of you who are listening. Rate, review, subscribe, all of those things. And we'll see you next week with another episode of Critical Nonsense. Love you. See you soon. Bye.